Hi, and welcome to Coffee and Pearls, 15 minutes of wisdom for Catholic moms. I'm Sterling Jakewith, and before I get into what I want to talk about today, which is solving scatterbrain syndrome, which I'm super excited about, I want to share with you an experience that I had this week. So, you know, I put out the James and Avila study. And of course, every time you create something, you know, you're kind of hoping that people like it and there's somebody out there that wants it. But usually I find at least one person that is feeling the same way that I am and does want whatever I've created. Because everything I create for myself. And so the response to James and Avila was great and people were so excited about it. But I knew that that was just kind of the first response, that I needed to see how it played out and if it was really going to do what I wanted it to do. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to release this thing and then, you know, maybe in 4 weeks I'd put out a survey and find out, hey, did anybody do it? Do you like it? Well, not too long after I released it, somebody sent me an email and she said, hey, I live in Boise. You know, I saw this study, looks great. I'm going to do it. Do you want to come to my house and do it with us? And I don't know why, I just never thought that that would happen. I didn't think I'd end up doing the study, which sounds really silly, maybe as I say it out loud, but I don't know. I just thought I'd put it out there for everybody else and I'd kind of move on and do something else. And so she asked me this and I thought, well, I really do not want to do that. That sounds super uncomfortable to just go to someone's house who I don't know with all of her friends who I also don't know and do this study, which I knew kind of asks you to be incredibly vulnerable. And then on top of that, they don't know that I wrote it. And it just sounded super awkward to me, right? I mean, give me, you know, a stage and 500 people and I will talk to those people any day because that does not feel as personal as this was going to feel. But I thought, what a hypocrite I would be if I didn't go after I just made this big point about community and not having community. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to go. I'm going to put my big girl pants on and I'm going to go. And I thought when I went, it was the first week, but it turns out they had met the week before. And so I was coming into the second week. And I did come to find out that they weren't super best friends, which is what I thought they were going to be. That this woman was so brave and she did exactly what I said, which is just reach out and grab some women together and say, come over to my house. Let's just do this study. It's not a big deal. Let's just meet and talk. And so that was really interesting to me to see that, you know, these women, while they had interacted together either through church or sports or things like that, they weren't really good friends going into this. And the other thing that was really interesting to me was they did what I suggested and let the kids just be wild and crazy. And so while we were sitting down at this woman's dining room table, there were just like a group of kids swarming around us, coming in and out of the room. At one point, they were singing on a microphone and playing on a piano. I mean, it was really kind of loud and chaotic, but I watched as none of us seemed to mind because we all had a bunch of kids and it didn't seem to get in the way of us talking to each other and really opening up to each other and even crying over these deep, deep things that we were sharing. And I was so incredibly impressed with the bravery of all of these women because they shared really, really deep stuff, okay? I mean, this wasn't a group where we were like, oh, I'm struggling to potty train Susie, you know, and I don't know if we should bump Johnny up to the next soccer level or, you know, I mean, I think we talk about these little things and they're meaningful, right? I don't mean to say that the little things aren't meaningful, but it's so rare that at a play group that somebody says, you know, I'm really struggling with my marriage and it feels really dark. All right. I've got some serious health problems and I don't know why God isn't talking to me. And I feel confused and scared and angry. I feel ashamed. And I'm not going to share all the things that this group talked about. It was none of those things. I picked different examples on purpose, but I was incredibly impressed with how each one of them really showed up. And despite the kids and the noise, they really connected in such a short period of time and then prayed for each other. I mean, and one woman said, you know, I was just praying for your families all week. And you could tell that it was feeding her to do that, that she felt so great about it. So I just wanted to share that for two reasons. One, we are all called to be brave. And I'm afraid sometimes that as Catholics in America, that that's going to become more and more true, that we're going to have to be brave just to be Catholics in America. But here was this moment, and it required me to be brave, and I didn't want to go, and it felt very uncomfortable, and I just jumped. I knew I had to do it. I knew that I wasn't going to grow if I didn't open myself up to this opportunity. And it was immensely satisfying. I wasn't sure if I was going to keep going, and I told my husband, I said, I'm going to go on this Tuesday, we'll see how it goes, but... And I usually actually do a lot of my work on Tuesday morning, so it felt like it was kind of in conflict with that special time. But I left there feeling so fed and so affirmed by these other women, having nothing to do with the words that I wrote on a piece of paper, right? That was just a platform, just some scaffolding. But it was so refreshing to be part of this group of women and to talk about real things that... You know, I think I'm definitely going to give up my morning work time on Tuesdays to finish this out. And so I just wanted to say that, you know, I think people have this idea that, oh, public speakers are brave and they do hard things. But I'll tell you that speaking in front of people is not as hard as sitting in a living room and opening yourself up to other women. But the reward for doing that, for making that leap, for being brave... is incredibly satisfying. And I think that's really this deep human connection that so many of us are missing. So I just want to challenge you to be brave. And if you've been thinking about doing this study, you don't even have to know the people. Just grab some women in your life and say, I'm not even going to clean my house. Bring your kids. They can be loud. We're just going to talk around them. And we're going to talk about real things. And it really is possible. And you really can do it. And I believe that it really is worth it. So I just wanted to share that with all of you. Then today, I want to talk about solving scatterbrain syndrome. Because I have been a hot mess lately. I've been a happy mess, right? Because I'm walking and I'm living my life. But I've been a mess nonetheless. And adjusting to five kids has just been, I want to say logistically more difficult than I imagined. Feeding them hasn't been a big deal, but... like nap schedules and feeding the baby and just knowing what we should be doing with each pocket of time we get. Like I find myself feeding Blaze and then he's done and I'm like, oh, well, now what are we supposed to do? And the other day I was going to pick up two kids because we carpool for the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd program because Rose is in level two now. And so I threw everybody in the car. I was on time. I love being on time. That just makes me feel super awesome about myself. And I was like, oh, this is going to be great. And I get halfway down my street and I think, oh, shoot, I can't take everybody because I don't have enough car seats now. I mean, just enough seats to take these seven kids to church. And so I had to like turn around and I kicked Poppy out. My parents were home. I said, oh, tell them I'm sorry, you know, and I hope that was okay with them, and I needed her extra seat, and so we kept going, we got the kids, we made it to church. I promised Poppy was safe, and my parents were home, but it was just such a rough moment where I feel like I just haven't quite adjusted to having five kids. So all the other weeks that we had been going to Atrium, my husband just took them, so I stayed home with some of the kids. This was the first time that we had taken all of them, so... I've just had a lot of those moments where I find myself kind of running around and being reactive instead of proactive. And I think you guys know that I don't like to live like that, right? I really don't like to live reactively in my life. And so I thought, you know, okay, this is a problem. It needs work. I'm not going to beat myself up about it. I'm going to carve out some time just to think about this, right? And so as Americans, we live this, you know, we're either go, 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 and we're so busy and stressed, or we're just like exhausted and slumped on the couch or in bed or in a chair or something, right? We tend to just live in those two states. We don't carve out enough time to solve problems. We're already stressed by the time they show up. And when we're stressed, it's actually a terrible time to solve problems. So I woke up before the kids. I said, you know what? I'm just going to give myself 20 minutes to sit down and just think about what's going on. And... I knew that this wasn't about creating time blocks. Like sometimes I've done that before in my life where I have an Excel spreadsheet and I say, okay, you know, at 10, we're going to do this. And at noon, we're going to have lunch and then we're gonna have outside time or whatever it was. I feel like I've really moved beyond that. I live such an alternative lifestyle with my husband being home and the kids only being in school two days a week. And now five of them, you know, I can't really have that kind of structure, at least at this moment in time. So I had a couple fixed appointments and I wrote those down. And then I also thought about loops. You know, we've talked about loops where you make a list of things that need to be done and you don't worry about how long it takes to do them or deadlines for them. You just move from one item to the next. So if you have a cleaning schedule, you know, you mop the floors and then you move on to cleaning out the refrigerator. And there may be 3 weeks in between those two items or 3 days. It doesn't matter. You just move to the next one and you go through this loop to make sure you get everything done. But that didn't feel quite right for what I'm going through either right now. And so I kind of thought what I really need is someone to just tell me what to do every hour, because like I found myself popping up and being like, wait, what should I be doing right now? And so I took out a piece of paper. This is probably not revolutionary, right? But it felt like it to me at the moment. So I wanted to share with you. And I made these columns and rows about which kids were awake and how much energy I had, right? These were the two kind of variables. So there's all five kids being awake, and then there's the three little kids being asleep. So a lot of times the three little kids will be asleep either for a nap during the middle of the day or for good at night. Like three little kids go to sleep at 6:30. And so this chart basically was showing me all the types of things that I could do when I had a certain combination of kids plus energy. Okay, so at night, even when it's only the older two who are awake and they're pretty self-sufficient, so I can say like, go color or listen to an audiobook or something, right? Like they can go do something else. But I'm tired, so it's also not the best time for me to write a blog post or work on a book or something like that. I don't have really good creative energy at the end of the day. And so instead, it's actually better for me to read, which I used to fight that a lot. I used to not want to read when I was tired. I would use that kind of as an excuse. But now I find that that is really one of the best uses of that time, because I can read something and take it in and take notes when I'm tired. And then I wake up in the morning, and when I have better energy or creative energy, then I can think about how I can leverage what I learned either in my own life or sharing it with all of you. And so that's kind of how this chart went. It was like, okay, well, if the baby's sleeping but the 18-month-old is up, what can I be doing? And a good example of that is I can do food prep then, because I can put Forrest in the high chair. He loves watching me in the kitchen. And then I could be doing food prep. So now when the baby goes to sleep and Forrest is up, I can look at the paper and say, oh, great, I can make some food for dinner or batch cook something or whatever it is. And so I tried to have several different options for each of these, you know, who's sleeping and how much energy do I have. And that also helps me, because if I've had a bad night of sleep and I wake up in the morning, that is normally when I have a lot of energy, but maybe it isn't. And I need to know what to do on the days where I'm just wrecked. Because we have those days and we need to know like, okay, I'm going to drink some coffee and read books on the couch with the kids and not feel bad about it, because that's what my chart tells me to do. And what I'm really trying to do with this is to decrease the amount of time, frustration, and guilt that I have not knowing what to do, because that's a silly thing. It's a silly thing to be a 33-year-old woman with an hour of nothing scheduled and have no idea what to do. Like, I feel bad about myself when that happens. I'm like, how do I not know what's important to do right now? And so this chart is basically helping me do that. One thing that was interesting to me was I actually decided that when everybody is awake is one of the best times for me to clean the downstairs, because I can sweep and vacuum and wipe things down and tidy spaces while everybody's up. And I can make them help me too. And I think before I had thought, oh, it's better to clean when someone's sleeping. But now I realize that I can be leveraging that time for different activities that I can't do when the kids are awake. So I put a bunch of examples on the blog post that goes with this episode. So if you want to go see, you can see a bunch of examples. Give me another 2 weeks, and then what I'll do is I'll email out a scanned version of this sheet that I have. But I'm still tweaking it. So I want to tweak it a little bit more before I send it out, because as I'm living through it, I'm like, that actually wasn't a great fit, or, oh, here's another activity. And so I wanted to have maybe more examples, or examples I know work for me, before I send it out for all of you. So if you're not signed up on my email list and you want to see that, make sure you get on that. I'll do it in 2 weeks, probably right after the Be Merry workshop. So I've got a Be Merry workshop coming up, and it will basically just be a 1-hour webinar 3 days in a row. And they're going to be recorded, so you don't have to be there live. But if you are there live, I'll answer your questions. And we're going to be talking about all the holiday stuff, right? How to deal with your crazy family. How to not be envious of everybody else. What to do if you're poor. What to do if you have to travel with a bunch of little kids. Like, all these things that cause us, you know, anxiety. We're going to talk about them. And I have some really, really solid activities that will help you manage those things. So you can go to my website and sign up for that. It's free. And like I said, if you can't make it at those times, don't worry about it, because it's going to be recorded and then I'll post it up. So I have one more question for you. I feel like I want to spend more casual time with all of you, but I'm not sure how you want me to do that. So now that I'm, you know, postpartum and I'm getting my energy back, and I just find that I have more things that I want to share with all of you, but I'm not quite sure how you want to receive that information. So what I'm not up for is doing a Coffee and Pearls where I have to write everything that I say, because most Coffee and Pearls, you know, I actually type out a summary of what I say so that if you're not listening to it as a podcast, you could at least read it. And I can't do that twice a week, but I could do a second Coffee and Pearls episode that was just me talking, and then maybe do a show notes with some links if I happen to mention anything, because I can find the time to sit down and just do this. So second casual Coffee and Pearls, maybe with a theme, maybe like a Q&A. People could submit questions. I don't know. Instagram stories. I see a lot of people doing that, and I could certainly do that. Facebook live video. Or like a detailed email. I'm really just trying to decide for you mamas who are busy, and, you know, is it really hard for you to do audio content or even video content? Do you want something written down? And so I would really like to hear, if you're interested, what format you want. So you can either pop into my Facebook page and answer that. You can shoot me an email. It's just my name, sterlingjakewith@gmail.com, and say, I would like content like this. But I'm feeling kind of called to do something more, because I'm just reading a lot, and I can't cram everything that's awesome that I read into the one episode. And so I just want to know how you would like that information. So reach out to me in some way and let me know, and then I'll probably get that going here. So I hope I've given you some tips to help you solve your own scatterbrain syndrome, and I'm curious to see what your charts look like and if that's helpful for you. And I would love to hear about your experience on that as well. So thanks so much for listening to Coffee and Pearls, and have a blessed day.